Our gospel text this morning comes from Luke, the 24th chapter, starting at verse 44. Then he spoke to them, "These are my words that I spoke with you, or to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? God of love, send forth your Spirit this day and each day that we may be renewed and that we may be your people. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever found someone in your life that makes time pass quickly when they're around? Maybe it passes too quickly, and it's time to say goodbye seemingly minutes after being reunited. Have you ever found someone like that? Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, the last before Pentecost. Can you believe that it's been that long since we gathered early in the morning, since we rose up, went to the tomb, and found the body no longer there? 7 weeks have passed since we gathered on a Saturday evening to celebrate the resurrection of God, and since we gathered early one morning to sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today." I would imagine that the disciples felt that time warp feeling as Jesus ascended. It probably, I would imagine, seemed to them that he just came back from the dead, and now he's leaving again. "We're so happy that you're back with us. Why are you going again?" Maybe it felt like he had just risen. But the truth is that Jesus is ascending, leaving instructions for those who follow him. Stay here until you receive what the Father has promised, until you're clothed with power, baptized with the Holy Spirit. This baptism, as Luke's account tells us, is different from John's baptism. You see, it's more than John's baptism of just repentance. Did you catch that in the Luke text? If not, go back and read it. Nobody's going to go back and read it? Okay, I'll keep going. This baptism is for repentance and for the proclamation of forgiveness of sins. And not just the proclamation, but the knowing that our sins too are forgiven. This baptism is powerful. It's full of power, powerful. In that the disciples receive the Spirit. And the same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus is the same Spirit which you and I and all followers receive. And the Spirit which they waited on, those disciples, as they gathered and watched their Savior ascending. They're to wait. And they must proclaim forgiveness of sins, which was one of the things that got Jesus in so much trouble. This new baptism in the Spirit also requires a few things of Christ's disciples. You must wait for the Spirit, and then you must witness, starting here and to all the edges of the earth. Wait and witness. These two directions from Jesus go hand in hand. Waiting on God assures that the disciples, and we are disciples, are going about the work of God on God's time and in God's way, instead of their own or our own agendas in our own time. Then witnessing. Waiting on God and God to move, and then witnessing as a response to the action of God. These two things must go together, or else it kind of short circuits. It's incomplete. Holding these two things together, this waiting and witnessing, is challenging. It's only two things, but it can be surprising how difficult just two simple instructions are. Parents, you may know this, as you give simple instructions, your mind, to your children, and then they somehow seem to find a way to short-circuit that, and to leave one or both of them incomplete. But some of us struggle more with the waiting part. We want to go, we want to do, we want to be about the business of God, and we want to make it happen. But that's all we. The waiting is difficult for some of us. And then there are others of us that struggle more with the actual going and doing. You see, the waiting on God is exciting. Let's wait for the Lord. But then when it comes to going and witnessing, well, that sounds kind of scary. I mean, what if people don't buy into this? What if people don't like what I have to say? What if I tell them that sins are forgiven and they say, much as they did to Jesus, only God has the power to forgive sins? And I have to remember that what I'm proclaiming is the forgiveness of sins from the mouth of our Lord and our God. Holding these two things together is difficult, and some of us struggle more with one and the other, and at times we can struggle with both of them together, feeling antsy, wanting to do something, but not knowing what. Wait and witness. They're harder than they may seem. Easter season has flown by. I don't know if it feels that way for you, but it sure feels that way for me. I cannot believe that it is already June, that school is already out, or is about to be, for those of us who are still in public schools. It's hard to believe that it's been so long since Easter. It feels like a time warp has occurred. And I think that's because it's so much fun to be in the season of Easter. It's tempting to stay in there. Time flies when you're having the fun of observing the flowers and talking about resurrection and thinking about how great it is that the tomb was empty and now Jesus is among us again. And so this day, as we see and as we remember Jesus' ascension and word to us, that I must go, so that your work and the work of the Spirit which go hand in hand and one can't be separated from the other, must begin. I must leave so that you can begin, so that the Spirit may be sent. Jesus' ascension changes things. It wakes us up from our blissful stay in the Easter season. And now we wait. We wait to be clothed with power, to receive the Holy Spirit's baptism. We wait. But some of us, maybe most of us, have already received the Holy Spirit in our baptism. So it's time to start doing the work of witnessing. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting on? Who are you waiting for, and who are you waiting on? And what is it going to take to begin the work of witnessing? Confirmation Sunday is next Sunday. We'll have a number of confirmands being confirmed at all three services. All three services. And talking about this, we talked about the ways in which we're baptized and brought in through confirmation into this church, a little C. Caroline, you remember that? Or talk about little C and big C church. We're brought into this worshiping body, this little C church. And yet we are also brought into the big C, the church universal. The whole thing, to the ends of the earth it reaches. And so we will have confirmands confirmed in each of our services as a witness to the fact that we are confirming ourselves in this worshiping body, but also in the worshiping body that will gather in another 2 hours in this space, and in the worshiping body that gathers just down the hall, and in the worshiping body that gathers across the street, and down the street, and up the street, and all across town, and this county, this country, this world. I want to challenge you this day to fulfill both of your directions from Christ, to wait and to witness next Sunday. I want you to wait around, come to all three services, to see all of the confirmands confirmed. Wait on them, for they are part of this body of Christ. They are Christ. Wait on them and witness to them. Witness to them that they are important, that they are welcome, that we rejoice in receiving them. Witness to the oneness, to the unity that is in this great, diverse, wonderful, confusing thing we call church. Confirmation is a rite, a ritual of accepting and taking up responsibility for our faith. Vows have been made for many of our confirmands, if not all of them. And now they take those vows for themselves. And then they'll get to take Eucharist with us on their confirmation day, their first communion as confirmed believers. They'll take part in this ritual, which we celebrate and observe every day, and we have found forms us and shapes us and feeds us. They'll wait with us as we wait for the Lord. Amen.